This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Breaking news! Our Seattle show has been moved to 10 p.m. That's 10 p.m., still Friday, February 7th, still at the Neptune Theater. Previously purchased tickets will be honored. See you after dark, Seattleites. There's gold in them there hills. This quote, best known as a catchphrase of hot-headed Looney Tunes prospector Yosemite Sam, in fact has mostly forgotten historical roots. It was reportedly first said in 1849 by a Georgia government official in a plea to encourage locals to stay in the Peach State instead of packing up and moving to California in search of the glittering precious metal. Few cities are as strongly associated with the year as San Francisco is with 1849, when the discovery of gold ignited a population boom like a prospector's stick of dynamite. The year even inspired the name of the five-time and potentially six-time Super Bowl champion San Francisco 49ers. And as a gold-starved migrant population moved to the Golden State, others flocked to the Bay Area to take advantage of the bubble, including Italian immigrants, who wielded their able poles fishing off its docks, which is how one San Francisco neighborhood became known as Fisherman's Wharf. And it was in Fisherman's Wharf where Isidore, an immigrant from Italy's continental and culinary rival, France, founded a bakery that would become bread central in a city whose signature starch is rice. The French Bake Shop, which Isidore gave his last name, popularized artisan sourdough in the Bay and across the country, and did the same for its indulgent offspring, the bread bowl. 170 years later, the French-founded loaf purveyor is San Francisco's oldest operating business. Today, Fisherman's Wharf is no longer a major fishery, it's a tourist attraction, as is the hybrid bread factory and restaurant that is the original of the chain's 30-odd locations. And while the French pronunciation of the family name is closer to Boudin, locals say it the anglicized way, the American way. This week on Doughboys, Boudin Bakery. Guys, thanks for coming out on a Sunday night. We are ready to get going with a real dumb show, but before we go any further, this week's roast is courtesy of Miles Gotcher. Let me introduce my co-host, 49ers tight end George Skittle, the Spoon Man Mike Mitchell!
What's up, San Francisco? It's a Sunday night, Wags, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna give it a shot.
Mitch just took three hard ciders out of his pockets. I assume they're just there generally.
I pulled two of them out from under my man titties. What's up, San Francisco? Congrats to the 49ers.
Mitch wearing his usual combo of a Pats hat and a Celtics fleece. Mitch, how do you feel about this upcoming... As of this recording, The Super Bowl is coming up. And when this episode releases, so the Super Bowl will have just happened. A new champion will have been crowned. What's the trophy called?
You're talking like a real sporto right now.
I'm a big-time sporto, one of the biggest. What is it? Is it the Vince Lombardi trophy? What's the trophy? The Vince Lombardi Trophy may well have taken up residence right here in the Bay.
Wow.
We'll see. Not
they seem
to
not to
anyone.
Care that much.
Yeah, I think they're pretty. They're at a fuck. They're watching two fat guys review a clam chowder restaurant on a Sunday night. This isn't a sports crowd.
Speaking of fat guys, I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to root for yet, Wags.
You don't
whether
know.
Whether it should be. I'm sorry, the Chiefs. Andy Reid is a very fat, penguin like man like myself.
Right.
So, in solidarity, I might have to root for him. I don't know yet. We'll see. No, I'm going to root 49ers.
Wow.
Fucking bullshit. I'm just saying that for the applause. Wags, it's funny, like upstairs, you know,
yes.
This old comedy club, and you think about how, like, 30, 40 years ago, like, in the bathroom, they were, like, probably doing coke and partying.
Right.
And instead, we just have, like, pre-show diarrhea in those bathrooms. Lots changed.
Yeah. Our carbon footprint is indefensible.
Mm-hmm.
We fly into a city.
You're saying Doughboy specifically.
Doughboy specifically. Mm-hmm. We fly into a city, we Uber to a chain restaurant, and we gorge on red meat.
When the climate trials happen,
yeah,
we will be putting a guillotine, both of us.
You go guillotine. I've heard guillotine.
Guillotine.
Guillotine, I think, is an acceptable
whatever that contraption is, it's gonna take a few tries to get through this fucking neck of mine. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have to build a new to hold my head. It's not going to be easy. Fucking extra large basket.
Yeah. A fucking lawn trash can. Those ones you use for yard work. Mitch,
you told me that you'd only root for the San Francisco 49ers if they changed their name to the 69ers. Is that right?
That's true. No, I mean, I don't follow the NFL. I don't really. I guess I will say I had my heart broken by the Niners because I was an LA Rams fan as a boy. And then they moved to St. Louis, and that was a heartbreak of a different sort. But they got to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I thought my favorite player, wide receiver Henry Ellard, would finally get to go to the big game. But no, they got blown out. It was like 48-3, the 49ers. And then they went on, they beat the Broncos like 55-10. It was one of those dominant Joe Montana teams.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You
don't have any stake in that. You just like that it upset a young me.
Yes. That rules. I wish I could go back. If I could go back in time for one thing, it would be to see you cry.
Mitch, once again, you've got some of your friends here, your colleagues, your buddy.
Yes,
your
Chankton
buddy,
is here.
Your buddy Chankton is here.
And Angelica's here.
Hello, Chankton. Hello, Angelica. Thank you
Margaret,
for coming out to the
Phil,
show. They live up
Mary.
Here in the Bay now. You see them out here when we come over.
Yeah. Are they here, or did they not even make it yet? Oh,
they
you're right here.
They are here.
All right.
We had an incident because we had to get you were like, hey, my friend Chankton needs to get into the show to put him on the guest list. And Emma and I had a text message conversation with you where we were like, hey, what's Chankton's real name?
That is true.
I would love it if it said Chankton on his driver's license. But
Chankton, does it say Chankton on your driver's license? His driver's license has been taken away.
But you've been up here in San Francisco the whole weekend, your sketch group, The Birthday Boys.
We did a show last night.
Anyone at The Birthday Boys last night? People saw that show.
People went? You went to the show last night? Should have fucking cheered louder. Oh, I got to play Hadaho to San Francisco.
There we go.
I got to play a little drop. Hit it. How do you say it? Orchetti?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Or
what? What is it? What are you trying to say?
Orchetti? O-R... I don't know how to spell it. Orchetti?
Orchetti?
O-R... The pasta. Orchetti? 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 The pasta.
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it's fine to kiss kids. Yeah, whatever you want to show... However you want to show affection to your family.
That's on you at the end there. It never gets any easier playing one of those stupid things. Hi, Mitch. Resubmitting this drop for the live show because I'm in the audience and I want to hear it. Thanks for coming to Ohio.
Yeah.
Saker from It's All Been Done, a Bare Naked Ladies podcast. A nice guy. I'm sorry. You got played at a live show.
You're just a classic dope.
Fuck you.
There's that Doughboys banner everyone loves. I want to mention, so we have, apparently there's a water sponsor for SF Sketchfest. And this is not branded content, the Doughboys can't be bought, but this water up here is, it's like a tall boy of just water. It looks like a brew dog, but it's water apparently. It's called Liquid Death Mountain Water, tagline, murder your thirst. This frosty can of pristine Austrian mountain water won't just refresh your body, it will murder your thirst. I feel like if you're an Austrian company, maybe lay off the murder threats. A little intense, a little loaded there.
I need to lean into it, why not? You saw Liquid Death and you ran into the green room and you just chugged one of these.
Finally, sweet release. But Mitch, you've been up here all weekend.
Up here on Saturday, not all weekend.
Oh, I thought you came up here earlier.
No, I came on Saturday.
Okay, then never mind. I thought you'd have more to discuss. I thought you'd maybe gotten up to some tomfoolery here in the city by the
day. Oh, yes. I was running around causing tomfoolery. What the fuck are you talking about?
Like you went to some merriment, some mischief making. Like you went out there and you painted the town red.
What do you think of me as a human being?
I think that you're the kind of guy who likes to maybe tie one on, maybe have a little party.
You think I'm like a little puck from Midsummer's Night Dream running around?
No, I was... Just because I use that language, I wasn't thinking you like run around a maypole or something. I expect you to go and do the normal things that people go when they go to a different city. Like you'd socialize with some friends, you go to a bar, you go to a restaurant. Anything notable happen to you?
No, I flew in. We did the birthday boy show. I ate a 14-inch burrito, which made me feel very unmanly. Too big. And then we did the show, and I went to bed. I wanted to go to Sam's Burgers. I always get a burger from Sam's Pizza and Burgers.
Lovely spot.
I've taken you there before.
You took me and Gabrus there. We had a lovely time.
Yeah, but we just went back to Ferguson's hotel room, and we sat in Ferguson's bed. And we all just hung out in Ferguson's room, for real.
Isn't aging, like, just so fucking dull?
Yes, I don't want to talk about it. It sucks.
You get old, and just everything sucks.
Yeah.
Just like, this is it, I guess. Just so I can go a place and I like just sit here for a little bit. That's it. That's my life. I'm just sitting in different places.
I know.
Let's introduce our guests.
Dear God. They were like an excited audience.
They're having fun. It's sunk cost. Audience, you can always just feel the moment when sunk cost fallacy sits in. And they're just like, well, I paid $25 for this ticket. I guess I'd better sit here for 90 minutes and watch this bullshit. Well, okay, more, okay. More people are saying. Well, fuck, sorry, we don't set the ticket prices. Mitch.
I do.
Wait, you do?
Cha-ching. Raise it up, baby. Sketchfest prices.
Let's introduce our guests. A party rock band comprised of three members of the sketch group The Birthday Boys. Their album Lifelong Vacation is available now. Give it up for Jeff Dutton, Mike Hanford, and Tim Kalpakis, the Sloppy Boys!
Wow. How's everybody doing?
All right.
Give it up for their video, too. You guys got a sneak peek of their fucking new video.
Very cool video we showed for the live audience here. We have a lot of business to discuss with you guys. We went to a restaurant. We spent a lot of time there. But first things first. And Dutton, I didn't talk to you backstage if this was a thing you wanted to disclose or into on stage. But you had a little bit of a dust-up. You got yourself in a little bit of a scrape.
I did.
Talk us through what happened.
All right. So I'm in my shower in the hotel.
Jacking off.
No, I was brushing my teeth.
Brushing your teeth in the shower?
I knew that was coming.
Michael, that seems like something you'd have tried before.
No.
It's efficient.
It's very efficient.
Yeah, it's like it gets the job done.
Can I finish?
So talk to Mitch and Liger. They're running.
Sounds like Ross Perot. Can I finish? Can I finish?
And so I finished brushing my teeth, and I'm a bit of a, not a germaphobe. I didn't want to put it somewhere weird in the shower. So I said, I'll reach, and I can put it on the sink. And I couldn't. Oh, and as I was reaching around the corner of the shower, I slipped and fell on my rib cage on the corner of the tub, and I fractured a bit of a rib and also a bit of my foot.
Dutton walked out with a boot. He's got a big boot on his foot.
Now, I was told that you stepped on a bar of soap and you slipped out of your room down the hallway and outside the hotel.
I did a lap around the Kimpton Buchanan Hotel.
He went by all our rooms and we all with shower caps on. Whoop. There he goes.
Also, these two told me for real that you got a rib removed so you could suck your dick.
And balls.
Well, you got the balls removed or he wants to suck his balls?
Two ribs. The second rib was so he could lick his balls.
Jeff, is this true?
That's when I get back to L.A. I have that sort of thing done.
I'm getting some added.
You can have one of mine. Hey.
So you can go around the back way?
There's no other way to do it. You need ribs.
But nobody's done that? Nobody's ever brushed their teeth in the shower?
I do it as well.
I've heard of this.
It's not a normal thing, but like I don't think there's anything so weird about it.
You brush your teeth, brush your pubes, do whatever you want to do in there.
Shower brushers out there, hashtag scrub brush.
That sucks.
By applause? By applause?
Okay.
They didn't like the hashtag. The hashtag's
bad. You think
that's
why I didn't get the reaction?
Yeah.
Well, what do you got?
What do you call it? Scrub brush?
Hashtag scrub brush. You're brushing and you're scrubbing.
How about hashtag rub-a-dub-dub teeth in the tub?
Oh, yeah. Damn.
That's how you hashtag, my friend.
I know when I've been bested. I've heard about this, and I've heard it's like a thing. The way it was described to me is that the logic behind it is, it's like, oh, I like showering, and so I'll brush my teeth.
No, what?
That's what someone told me that. Someone told me because showering is fun, I get to have a little bit more fun time in the shower.
This is insane. You talk to an insane person.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's an insane person we all know.
Who?
Dave Ferguson.
Oh.
Dave Ferguson.
Ferguson
told me
would say showering is fun.
What's he doing?
That's the funnest thing you could think of.
No, it's an efficiency thing. Like
it's an efficiency.
You clean everything else in the shower. Why are your teeth so special? You got to stand up in front of a special mirror and do it. I don't.
Agreed. I agree.
I feel the same way about dentists. You go to the doctor for everything else, and you got to go to this fucking special mouth doctor for your mouth bones.
Yeah. Fuck dentists.
Fuck dentists.
If there's a dentist in here tonight, get the fuck out of here. Is there a dentist here tonight?
Good.
Wouldn't dare show up here.
They know to stay away.
They're disgusted by the premise of the show.
You ever use Dr. Bronner, like 18-in-1 soap, bottle?
Only when I used to shower in your shower.
It's great. I used to use that for everything because all the uses. Brush the teeth, shampoo the hair, do your laundry.
Really?
No. All with the same bottle in college.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you know that spicy peppermint stuff. It does everything.
You put your toothpaste into the laundry?
Oh, well, Mitch.
It was more than it was so. It was weirder than it was going in my mouth. It wasn't like Colgate going into a washing machine. That would be weird.
And so it is, but it is. It's an all-purpose.
You've seen Dr. Bronner's. It's like a tall bottle, and it's got all sorts of pseudo religious ramblings on it.
I like that. Go on.
And you use it for anything.
I had no idea. That's crazy. An all purpose wash. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's really spicy, too. It burns your skin.
Oh.
Sounds unpleasant.
Yeah.
Another thing like this, coconut oil. You can do whatever you want with that.
I know some coconut oil advocates. Nally's, like my lovely wife Nally, will use her coconut oil in all different ways.
She'll
use
it.
Yeah.
Oh. Hold on. Yeah, calm down. Everyone calm down. Yeah.
She oils herself up so she can slip away from you.
So you guys, the Doughboys, or we're the Doughboys.
You guys.
The Birthday Boys had a show last night.
You forgot we're the Doughboys?
Too many boys going on these days. Also, we're too old. We should be. Yeah. We need to be men.
We're going to change the podcast to Dough Men?
We should be... We should be Dough Men.
All right, fine. From here on out, the podcast is called Dough Men. Do you agree to that change?
I don't know if I feel like then the dough is also infantilizing. I think maybe just men.
The podcast is called men?
Yeah, men. Doughboys become men.
What about bread men or something?
Bread men's pretty good.
Yeah, dough becomes bread.
Yeah.
All right, we'll think about it. At bread men, I think I might get on board with bread men. You guys have been up in... You guys, I know you got up here on Friday, so you spent a little bit of extra time in the Bay. Oh, yeah. We've all been to the Bay on a number of occasions, largely for the lovely Sketchfest Festival, which happens every January. But do you guys have any favorites from this visit or previous visits in terms of Bay Area eateries, place where you've grabbed some grub?
Well, we got some classics that we didn't even get to because we love the Tonga Room.
Love the Tonga
Room. Yeah, baby.
The rain in the Tonga Room.
We love the House of Nanking.
Not as much. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That place, we don't look at the menu. We come and we say we're hungry, and they just keep the food coming.
And the waiter looks very nervous. How hungry? You're threatening us?
And this trip, I brought these guys to the Tadich Grill.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay, that one's new to me. What is that?
Oh, 171 years old, a seafood restaurant. Shrimp cocktail, like really old waiters.
They're all dressed like scientists.
Yeah, they are, white lab coats. And we kind of sat in what felt like a train car.
Yeah, it was a little booth. It was a little like wooden booth, and we got to be in there by ourselves.
We felt like Don Draper himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Our waiter was very curt, but in a charming way.
I love that. Love
they
a mean waiter.
They also didn't have a lot. Like, I ordered a artichoke, and they didn't have it. You ordered something. He's like, we don't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have anything, really.
Yeah.
It was a terrible time. Yeah. No, it was great. What they did have was delicious and fresh.
Yeah, what he could round up in the back was fine.
I had a crab and shrimp, casserole.
Ugh. That sounds fucking gross.
It does sound gross.
No.
It does sound gross.
It was like a bunch of seafood and cheese and rice all cooked up.
That's disgusting.
No,
they put some hot caramel on top.
And also, you want to eat a whole one before you get on stage.
I you guys are talking about them being out of something. I had an insane experience at a place we ordered lunch for work this past week, and it was a deli, and a bunch of us ordered turkey based items as you would from a deli, and they said we no longer carry turkey.
Wow!
They discontinued turkey at a deli.
Wow!
What kind of
on what grounds?
It's tryptophan, probably.
Is that what it is? You think?
It's gotta be.
Mm.
Did you just get the olive loaf and call it a day?
Yeah. So I was going to say, we're talking about some various eateries.
Dwight, do you have any spots you like to go to?
Oh, boy, I do. I didn't get to go to any today because I flew up this morning and I'm flying back tomorrow morning.
Really love the city.
It's the way you want to see San Francisco.
Do you go to Alcatraz every time you come, right?
For the listener who's not here too, Weiger's still wearing his backpack. He's not taking that. He's going right to the plane.
It's a lovely city. I had some work obligations that precluded me spending more time here, unfortunately. Oh. I would have liked to have been here more.
All right, fine.
But on previous occasions, my lovely wife, Natalie, who I mentioned, she went to...
Coconut oil?
All right, take it easy. Calm down. She went to UC Berkeley, so she knows she spent some time in the Bay, taking me to a few different places up here. We've got to some places together. There's a Mediterranean restaurant that has a few branches, Le Med, that we've been to. That's a lot of fun. There's this little sandwich shop that has banh mi that we went to. There was just as close to a literal hole in the wall as you could get, called Saigon Sandwich here. Oh, my
God.
Wow.
Whoa. That's the biggest pop of the night.
What a delightful banh mi that was.
There?
It was great. It was like two employees and no seating area. It was just you walk in and they're just yelling at you and make you a sandwich, and it's fucking delightful.
Why do you like all this yelling? Why do you like a mean waiter?
I like being scolded by a food service employee.
Uh-oh.
Because at some level, I know they're better than me. They're contributing more to society than I am. What am I doing?
It seems kind of erotic in some way. It seems like you're getting off on this, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm fucking going home and pounding off, thinking about a fucking...
mean waiter?
Waitress from Mel's yelling at me for wanting my eggs poached.
Yes, I do.
All right, well, maybe. Natalie, I'm going to need some coconut oil. We went to a Cambodian restaurant last time up here called Nyum Bai, I think, in Oakland.
Wow.
This is fucking great. So, so good. A ton of great food city up here.
Hey, Mitch. I feel like during the summer, pretty much everything I'm doing outdoors is making me thirsty.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the issue is. That blasted sun.
Curse the sun.
Curse the sun.
Giver of life, but also...
Giver of heat.
Giver of a dehydrator in chief, I'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Summer requires extraordinary hydration because of the sun.
You know
that's
like
built for
moon?
Everyday dehydrating moments. Yes.
The moon is cool.
Moon's real cool. When the moon is out, there's never a doubt. The moon is cool.
And when the sun's up high, you can't deny it's gonna be hot, 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 hot. Anyways, I think that we've expressed that the sun gets you hot in the summertime.
It sure does, and the moon keeps you cool. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
Wags, that's right. And you know what? It's so easy to just tear open a packet of Liquid IV, pour it into a cup, mix it up with some ice cold water, and drink it down. My favorite flavor, strawberry.
It's a hydration multiplier.
That's right.
Gets you even more hydrated, and it's easier to stay hydrated while traveling. And you know what, Mitch? We like the taste.
I love the taste. And you know what? I love that I'm getting all those electrolytes and I'm not getting filled up with sugars.
Yeah. I love the smell too, and it helps you out, not just while traveling, but after a big night out. You know what I mean.
Come on.
Come on. The moon is cool.
Cool.
The moon is cool. Cool. Tear. Pour. Live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone.
And Wise, it's got 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 vitamins and nutrients, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and now sugar-free. We got white peach.
Wow.
Green grape.
Wow. Raspberry melon. And lemon lime.
That's right, Wags. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DOUGHBOYS at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code DOUGHBOYS at liquidiv.com.
I love Liquid IV. You know why?
Why?
Because it's cool. Cool.
And the sun is hot. Mitch, listeners, did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen to this. That's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. And Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Wow. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Mitch, you know what I love about Babbel is the courses are convenient. They help me learn real-life conversation skills in my chosen language, Spanish. Makes it easier to order food, ask for directions, speak to people here in Los Angeles without having to consult language apps while you're on the go.
Well, Wag, studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
And you don't want to go anywhere near a college campus these days with all those protests.
No thanks.
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Wags, and all those protesters out there... Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/Doughboys.
Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/Doughboys, spelled Babbel.com/Doughboys. Rules and restrictions may apply. Oh, boy, Mitch. Mother's Day's coming up. You got sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. Mm. Unfortunately, Mother's Day gifts can be a little predictable and boring. That's why an Aura frame is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Dreaded bathrobe covering mom up? Ugh.
Get that sweater off of you. Too many layers.
Wise, that's right. You know what? I'm guilty. I've given my mom too many of these boring gifts.
Yes.
Some sweaters, some candles, some dreaded bathrobes.
I've accidentally given my mom the same gift twice.
Wow.
It's really embarrassing. Or you end up getting like, oh, I guess I'll give you a gift card. I don't, you know, like it doesn't feel like there's any love behind that.
Well, guess what, Wags? I've also gifted my mom an Aura frame. That's right.
Wow.
This is the truth. Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and come with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame.
Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll also love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
That's right. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code DOUGHBOYS at checkout to save. And you know what, Wags? My mom liked her Aura frame so much. This is true. She got my sister one, and now my sister's got one in her dining room.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Terms and conditions apply. Send photos you want from your phone to mom's frame. In fact, Mitch, I'm going to send your mom a photo right now.
The hell?
Enjoy, Mrs. Mitchell.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
You're talking to your mom, right?
Yeah.
But we went to a fairly, I guess, iconic. I guess iconic in the sense that people outside of San Francisco perceive this as part of San Francisco's identity. We went to Boudin to review it for this episode of the podcast. So the location we went to was the Fisherman's Wharf Original, which is, if you're not from San Francisco, it's super duper touristy. The location is across the street from a wax museum and a Ripley's, believe it or not. It's that kind of fucking, like, just the worst fucking part of any town is right across the street from the Ripley's, believe it or not.
Weiger walked in there and people started going up and taking pictures of him.
So the a lot of Boudins are like little standalone, you know, they're like little bakery cafes. This one is a combo store slash museum slash cafe. It's got one of those inside of it, and there's also a nicer restaurant that's upstairs. And that's where you guys set up shop while you're waiting for me to get into town.
That's right.
There was a piece of merch that we noticed there, Kalpakis. You sent us a pic.
Oh yeah, it was this. You mean the thing that was fucking hilarious?
It was very funny.
It said, "Keep calm and eat sourdough." So we were cracking up over that. We lost our shit on a coffee mug. I mean, what more do you want?
I think we were still laughing when you got there, which was about 45 minutes later.
This location is the home of what's known as the Mother Dough.
That's right.
Which sounds like if we would find out that we're half brothers and then
from the Mother Dough?
Yeah, from the Mother Dough.
I was trying to get the Mother Dough's number at the end of the meal.
It's like a sourdough starter that has existed since the 19th century that they continue to make new loaves.
We got to fucking steal that shit. I'm telling you.
You and I, the vault.
If you and I fucking stole the Mother Dough, it would be cool.
Did you make a heist movie?
Yeah, the Dough Heist movie. Oh, my God.
It's right there in the fridge. You can see it. You're very close to it.
I think it literally is locked behind a vault. I think it literally is like you have... I mean, we could try to steal it. I bet if we tried to steal it, they'd be
there
like...
There was a door that just said, "The Mother Dough."
That's
Did
true.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it's pretty conspicuous. They're telling you where where it fucking is.
There's a big museum... And we were walking through, and we were like, "This museum is lame as hell." And we got to the other side where they were like making bread. And then we looked through the windows and we saw Weiger taking pictures like every second of the museum.
Wide eyed, mind blown.
Crying. There were tears coming down his face.
Geez, sorry for having fun in a sourdough museum by myself. Guess that's weird for some people.
There's a timeline, and I looked at the timeline, and there were lyrics to "Going to California" by Led Zeppelin on it. And I was like, what does this have to do with bread in any way?
I think the original lyrics at the very end of that song, he said, for bread.
They ran out of tape.
Yeah, because it was analog tape. These days we have Pro Tools and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I took a pic of a sign. Let's see if I can pull it up real quick. It's the Mother Doe Vault. That was not it. It was someone had written. Oh, okay, here we go. These were lyrics to a song. It's called. This phone is befuddling me. Song for the Bakers by Enoch George Adams, circa 1884.
Sing it.
I don't know the tune. Full 18 hours under the ground, toiling and making bread. Shut off from air and light and sound. Are we alive or dead? Are we men with thought and restless will? Or are we but batches of dough that take their shape from the pan they fill is what I'd like to know.
Fuck!
That's a good
song. So fucking grim.
They seem slightly less depressed than you. What a horrid time.
Yeah, I know.
We kept bakers in caves back in the day?
18 hours in a windowless room just inhaling wheat flour. It's just got to be so fucking brutal.
Fucking sign me up.
We went to... So Bistro Boudin is what the upstairs thing is called. Obviously, San Francisco is maybe the most expensive city in the U.S. It's like food cut.
Woo!
She's so proud.
Okay, thank you.
Second!
Who's number one?
New York. Yeah! New York's still number one. But the a very expensive city, and that extends obviously to food. Just to put into perspective exactly what you're dealing with at Bistro Boudin, this is like fine dining prices, but they have a Dungeness crab omelet there for $25. $25 for an omelet! That's a lot!
Boo.
That's an expensive-ass omelet.
I need to see the omelet before we get all mad. Is it a huge big omelet? Is it huge? $25 for a giant omelet is fun.
It was described as a three-egg omelet, but it did have Dungeness crab, which I assume is where the high price comes from. But you're paying a premium for the location and fucking whatever. We started off with some drinks. Now, you guys ordered
eggs
something.
Are about $8.50 per egg, right? I haven't been to the grocery store in a long time, but I assume $8.50 per egg sounds right.
This is like a Tom Steyer campaign flub. We got some, you guys, before I got there, got some oyster shooters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Describe exactly what we're dealing with.
They come out in syringes. You shoot them right into your arm. Yeah. Ooh, I shouldn't make that joke here. I forgot about that. Dear God, I've truly just panicked.
You're fine.
They're fucking shot glasses with Bloody Mary and a fucking big oyster at the bottom of them.
It was. Who did it in one? Did you do it in one go?
I did it in one.
I did a little sipping first.
Sipping, I think, is the way to go after having gulped down that oyster.
After having done it, and you chug a big chunk of liquid, and then a big fucking blob falls into your mouth.
Yeah.
You guys weren't chewing them either, right? You just swallowed it down.
It's like when you take a drink from a glass of ice.
Oh, right? Hell yeah. What are you doing over at your apartment?
Sometimes you take a drink
drinks.
You get the ice shoot down your throat. Like,
it balances,
and then you get the ice down the throat. It was like that, but a big mucousy oyster.
Yes.
And the oyster was kind of warm.
It was a little warm,
And did
but to be fair, we requested it to be warm. Yeah.
We brought a meat thermometer and, like, yes, 94 degrees.
They weren't the fun start to the day that I thought they would be.
Sure. And you said start to the day, and I know that you got there at 3:30 p.m.
Well, I've been to this city 15 times. What am I supposed to do?
Also, Mitch, I expected you to make more of a meal of the fact that you got to the restaurant 45 minutes before.
Yeah, no shit. It's you true. Late fuck.
First off, yes, I was late for the original 3:30 reservation.
I thought it was 3 p.m.
Details. No, it was 3:30.
Oh.
I have documentation and text messages, and I have
put it up on the screen.
Back. I'll find the text. I also have a Google calendar. You have not joined the Doughboys Google calendar yet.
It's complicated.
What?
It's been up and running for a couple years. It's very helpful.
I did text him the other day. I was like, hey, I have these separate show dates. Are these okay? And you're like, I'll look it up for you. Like a mother. Thank you, Weiger. I appreciate it. You're like mother, though. You know that?
Oh, I'll take the compliment. Yesterday, 2.05 p.m. from Nick Weiger. Can we do 3.30 p.m. tomorrow at the original Fisherman's Wharf location? And the address was included. Liked by Jefferson Dutton and Tim Kalpakis.
Yeah!
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Mike Mitchell replies, yeah. It's okay.
Talking about something else.
Did I not respond at all?
No, you replied, yep. Okay. But a little later. But it's fine. It's not a big deal. Like I was still late to the original time. I'm just saying that I wasn't as late as you thought because you were early because you didn't know what time it was supposed to start.
Okay, that might be true. But we got in there. We got to see the bread. There's little baskets of bread. I honestly thought that it was some sort of you know the game Mousetrap?
Yeah.
I thought it was basically a mousetrap set up for me. A ball rolled down the stairs, hit a pole, and a cage came over me.
Yeah, you were going to do the dive, like the little diving guy.
But there's a basket of bread. There's like baskets of bread that I think are just show bread.
It's weird. It's like a droid factory. There's just like these little sci-fi, you know, fucking bread baskets that are up in the sky. They're like up in the air.
They're like a droid factory?
That's what it evoked for me. I was like, this is like droids being assembled in Attack of the Clones. This is like the kind of thing that I would see.
Okay, fair.
I agree with you. Factory Geonosis, yeah. Yeah, we're on the same page.
But yeah, I can't.
Watt Tambor is in the back doing some business. We know what's up.
People do not know Watt Tambor. We went upstairs. It
was a working kitchen, which is kind of cool to say.
Yeah.
And there's also a funny thing in that museum where it's like San Francisco fog, and then there's this thing that's just a shooting fog out.
It's just got like a smoke machine.
Yeah, smoke machine.
Fog at you. It's like, what am I supposed to be experiencing here? I know fog conceptually. It's not unique to San
what
Francisco.
Is that?
It was nice to run your hand through it. I thought that was fun.
That was kind of fun.
That was kind of nice.
You know what? I like the fog.
Yeah, the fog was great. Did you see the zoetrope machine?
No, where was that?
That was fun. It was just that big cylinder that was spinning around, and you could watch. You just look through the little slit.
Oh, I didn't realize there was anything in the slits.
It was like a horse running, or what was it?
No, it was a baker putting a loaf of bread in the oven.
That makes more sense.
Pulling it out, and then kind of dancing. And then below it was a guy panning for gold, pulling it out, and then he danced.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was the best movie I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Everyone was asking me...
Best two movies. I consider those two movies.
You were asking me if it was still eligible for this year's Academy Awards.
And you were like, I don't think so. I'm like, well, can you call them? Can you call Oscars?
Here's my take on oyster shooters. Just give me an oyster. Like, why do I want to do have this fucking weird drink? Just give me an oyster.
Well, to be fair, you can also get oysters. It's not like shooters are nothing, buddy.
Did they say that to you when you walked in?
The guy said,
hey, shooters are nothing. Go upstairs.
I think they yelled shooter when you ran in. Shooter! Everyone under the tables!
You know what I mean? It's like, why do I need that extra stuff? It's just like, just give me the fucking regular thing. You guys, the other drinks that I chronicled that you guys got, Irish coffee, Mai Tai, Boudin Bloody. They're taking a Bloody Mary, obviously. And I got myself a Bistro Sidecar, which was a lot of fun.
Mm.
Wait, no, I didn't.
What is that sidecar?
Yeah, you got the sidecar.
Did I get the sidecar?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It was like a martini glass with sugar around it.
I did get the
sidecar. Clearly not your first drink of the day.
I mean, correct.
The other one was solo, I guess.
I think it was good. It had some like marmalade in it. Paddington would approve. And it was some nice sweetness, very drinkable, not overly sweet. It's a fine cocktail.
Paddington approved. Yeah. They should put that on the menu. That's great. It looked the marmalade and the sugar glasses seemed a very sugary drink for you.
Well, I don't think it needed the sugar rim. I feel like sugar rims in general I don't need.
Are you serious that there was actual marmalade in it? Or
it
just
was like
orange?
Mixed up. The menu description had marmalade. There was marmalade in there, yeah. And it kind of thickened it a little bit.
I think of like chunky jelly.
I think they just stirred the hell out of it.
Nasty.
It kind of worked for me.
I had the Mai Tai. It was pretty good. It was kind of strong. I felt like all the cocktails were pretty strong. That shooter was fucking strong as hell.
I think just Bloody Marys aren't meant to be shot at all.
Yeah, that's true.
I got my Bloody Mary was stupid because it was really redundant after the oyster shooter to be then having the same drink without the oyster flopping in my throat. It was just ice hit me.
It was celery stick hit you in the face.
I had a nice big celery stick and I felt like Brad Pitt.
He said this.
I felt exactly like the
And
curse.
We all said, in what way?
Well, we all said, no, you look like Brad. Look like
That's
Brad.
What I meant. Oh, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he has a big celery stalk. And he, when he's having a Bloody Mary, go back and rewatch it. It's just like me earlier today.
I like the idea of people going back and watching it tonight and be like, holy shit! He would it is blowing my mind!
Screenshot it, tweet it at me.
So let's get into our, any other
You know what I
on,
think?
Yeah.
Keep veggies out of my fucking drink.
Oh, really?
Yeah!
Seems like that's been sort of your MO for a while. Mitch, come on, we're having fun here. This is Doughboys. You bring me on the show. I gotta say that.
You brought him on the show.
Brought me on the show.
Oh, you get carte blanche to call me a fatty?
I didn't say that.
Oh, I am a fatty, and I want fucking veggies out of my drinks. A cherry and fruit is fine.
I had a few cherries, three cherries in my Manhattan there.
Yeah. What do you, a big thing is celery?
I like it. I like the fucking tomato based cocktail.
This is a dumb question. Celery is a fruit, right?
Oh boy.
Wow. He's having fun.
Celery is a Brad Pitt movie prop.
Yes, okay.
Mitch,
the farmer's like, we gotta grow some props for that Hollywood movie.
Do you like it when a Bloody Mary has all the dumb shit like we put a slider and we piled a whole onion ring on there.
Not only do I love it, I just recently fell for it in Wisconsin. There was a drink that was like a burger slider and fucking a hot dog and shit all in the... And I loved it. It was amazing.
So you don't like veggies, but you're fine with just like extra meat.
Here's why. It doesn't count as a meal if it comes in the drink.
Is that true?
Nice loophole.
So if mother asks, I only had... This is what I had for a meal... And then all the thing in the drink, that doesn't count.
Yeah, this pork shank was a garnish. So let's get into the food. We got an Arctic Char ceviche.
That's right.
This is ceviche on sourdough crisps with avocado mousse. It was guacamole. You don't call it avocado mousse. Come on. Pomegranate
I
seeds.
I think it was avocado mousse.
Grapefruit and balsamic drizzle. I had one, you know, it was... When I got there, again, I was late. I got a little... It was close to room temp, so it wasn't ideal ceviche. But it was fine.
Can I just say that I would rather they just say balsamic instead of balsamic drizzle?
You don't like the word drizzle.
I think drizzle is gross sounding.
What? Does it make you think of something?
Snoop Dogg.
Is that it?
No, I like Snoop Dogg. The word drizzle is weird.
Why?
Not because they're drizzling. They're not that supposed. They're just putting. You know what I'm. You know what is behind me.
You're thinking of cum, Mitch. It wasn't a jacket.
I'm just thinking of cum.
Say it.
I am.
Also, like, this is just making me speculate about you. Like, oh God, I'm gonna drizzle.
Get that coconut oil away from me. I like it rough. Wow, I should have said that.
Oh, shit, I'm going to drizzle. That's really good and true. It makes me think of cum. It shouldn't be called balsamic drizzle. It's just some balsamic on there.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's weird. Call it a vinaigrette or something.
Thank you.
I think don't put it on there at all. It didn't need that.
It didn't need balsamic.
It definitely didn't need that dressing, yeah. I don't think that did anything to it.
Balsamic, maybe the most overused... fucking condiment of the 2010s. Yeah.
It's like,
boy, wow, great take. I like this take. Too much.
What
balsamic.
You guys are behind me? You fucking. Oh, you love balsamic, you San Francisco freaks.
I'm with you, balsamic. We can stay in the 2010s with sriracha. Just got kind of a little played out.
Yeah.
Let's have some new condiments in 2020.
Ooh, I someone's like sriracha, booing us.
But I'm saying it got played out.
That guy has a whole cup of balsamic at his table. It's disgusting.
In a bread bowl.
Any other thoughts on that ceviche? Any advocates? Any detractors?
I felt like we were trying to share it, and I didn't get enough to even have any taste in my bite.
It feels like it should be more shareable. Like they were kind of on individual chips, but it wasn't distributed perfectly.
That could be my fault. I took the first round of that.
It arrived in a tower, stacked up, and then we deconstructed it.
I kind of knocked that tower over, yeah.
Honestly, all the apps were kind of like, this happens with a lot of like nicer restaurants, I guess, and maybe this is one of those trying.
It's definitely in that price category.
It's a restaurant.
But like, it's a restaurant. But like, the meatballs were 3 meatballs. The shrimp was 6 shrimps. So it's like we each got to have one or half of whatever appetizer showed up.
And these apps are between $15 and $20. And like they're not.
The 3 meatballs specifically was fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it's tough to kind of get a real enjoyment out of that.
So the Peruvian meatballs, beef meatballs with panca chili sauce, cilantro, watermelon radish, and crema. These are fucking whack. I was like, what am I doing here?
Plain.
Waste
so
my time.
What do you think? The Peruvian meatballs. Connection, is that for real or they were just trying to do a fusion thing?
Because I walked by the kitchen and they had the door open and like they're like, all right, roll them in. And they're rolling these things in from Peruvia.
from Peruvia?
Peruvia?
Yeah.
No!
Peruvia!
Yeah, Peruvia.
That is amazing that it was really from Peruvia.
Well, I was so amazed because I was like, where the hell is Peruvia?
Yeah.
So then I went back there. I said, guys
show me on a map where these are coming from.
I think it's Peru.
So we don't think the rolling meatballs is weird at all, but the fake country is very
weird. Yeah, that was weird. That was
and so
weird.
you saw them rolling the meatballs in and you just knew immediately it was from Peruvia? How did this happen?
They were saying like, oh yeah, these just came from Peruvia. Oh, yeah.
They
I was
were
like,
saying
I don't
that.
Think I should be back
it's kind
here.
Kind of the buzz around the scene.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we got our answer. They're real Peruvian meatballs.
Yep. Great. Good to know. Yeah, they didn't do anything for me. Not a lot of seasoning there.
They were fun.
The shrimp cocktail, you know, I've had better shrimp cocktails.
I think we should have even ordered a shrimp cocktail. It's kind of a boring thing, don't you think?
Well,
can I blame it on someone?
Yeah.
I blame Van Artstalen. He ate with us.
No.
We forgot to mention Chris Van Artstalen was there.
I seconded
from the Birthday Boys. Who also designed the lovely Doughboys logo.
Hell yeah.
And he directed the video that we just showed you.
Yeah.
Hey.
He did a good job.
And for all that work, we let him have lunch with us today.
He said, you can order one thing.
Can I have the shrimp cocktail?
And we're going to talk shit about it on the podcast.
You fucking ruined it all for us. The shrimp cocktail. We should have gotten calamari, I say.
I think a shrimp cocktail is a fine baseline order to sort of see the baseline competency of, this is just like a standard app. Let's see if you can pull this off. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's like onion rings. It's just a basic app. Again, I think it was fine.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I thought it was actually fine. I thought it was pretty good.
It was a lateral move, shrimp cocktail to, what's the thing you said? The calamari.
Yeah, calamari.
No, but we would have had more fun with dipping calamari in the marinara. Come on, Jefferson. Yeah,
come on, Jeff.
I dipped my thing in the other thing.
Oh, the cocktail sauce. He's right.
Oh, he's right. There is a dip for that, too.
He's right.
Calamari grim because you sometimes get those little ones that have like that are just like, are those... babies, right? They, you sometimes get the babies.
And they say the butthole thing. Yeah.
The butthole thing, yeah, that's the other thing.
I like the spidery ones.
The spidery ones.
What are those babies? Are those baby squid?
They look like Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find anytime I'm eating, and I guess this extends a shrimp cocktail, but anytime I'm eating an entire life form in a bite, it makes me feel monstrous. It's like something an ogre would do.
It's funny because it makes me feel powerful.
Yeah. Like langostino shrimp, those tiny little guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can eat entire colonies. It's great.
Yeah.
I feel like Galactus.
I've seen Mitch take some of those little squid things and line them up and really berate them and then march them into his mouth.
I have told Weiger that we used to race lobsters back in Quincy when I was a boy.
Really?
Yeah, we'd line them up. I'd get on top of one and my sister would get on top of another one. We'd race them around the house. No, you would race them, and the winner usually went in the pot first, was the sad thing about it.
The winner?
Yeah.
So you're not delaying, like, they don't get their, they just get their death sentence sooner.
It's like well, the other ones, coming. The ones who didn't win, we kind of put into, like, a Saw scenario.
Uh, I got myself an herbed green salad. Organic greens, cherry tomatoes, our black pepper, shallot vinaigrette. So vinaigrette is in their vocab.
Can I say, I'm going to say something. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say the salad was, it was, I mean, I think it was one of the better things that we had.
Bad news, San Francisco. Second best dish of the day was the salad.
You had some?
Yeah, it was delicious.
The only, I mean, the produce was fresh. It was very simple, but it was, you know, it was refreshing. It was a well-composed salad. I do think it was maybe a tinge overdressed, but it was overall pretty good. A good salad. Solid restaurant salad. And then we get into our mains. And the big one, the big boy here, the one that they have at the cafe that is kind of their signature, the Boudin sourdough bread bowl, comes with a clam chowder or crab and corn bisque. You can also go petite, which I would advise anyone who is considering ordering this to go petite.
Yeah, I did
because
that.
It just is, you're just deciding how much bread you're going to throw away.
Yeah.
And petite, it's just less wasteful. But I got the big boy, and it's a fucking whole bunch of bread. It's like a whole sourdough fucking orb.
It's like the half of a basketball.
It's too much.
Yeah. And then they give you the top of it, too. Like, they take the what they cut out.
They cut it, yeah.
And they give that to you to dip, I guess. But the whole thing you dip, it's already dipped.
I do kind of like...
The whole bowl is dipped.
And it's just dip. I do kind of like dipping that top.
Get these lids out of here, lady.
Yeah, it is funny. You see the factory, you see the bread get made, and then it goes on your plate, and then you throw it in the trash.
At least send it somewhere to be made into croutons.
And Tim, you tried a little hack with that bowl, didn't you?
That's right. I went side by side, the half and half. Crab and corn bisque on one half, the other half, clam chowder. And I don't know how they did. We thought maybe they'd put it like a thin slice of bread between the soups. They didn't.
They just haphazardly threw them together.
They just ladled them in. They stayed separate.
If I
it was like oil and water. They just wouldn't go together.
Yeah,
and I tried to mix them. It just that was kind of. How do you think they did that?
I think it's a density thing. I think you're right.
Maybe they could have put them in kind of cold and congealed and then heated up the whole.
Oh, but, interesting.
But the bread wasn't warm. How did they fucking do this?
So. This is a magic trick they pull off at California Pizza Kitchen, and when I've seen them do it, they have a little divider, and they're pouring them into that divider, and then they remove the divider, and because, again, they have different densities, they kind of stay isolated. This felt like they just kind of poured them in at the same time from different sides and just hope for the best.
And as you ate it, did they like mix together as you ate it?
No. I ate all of the clam chowder, and then the crab bisque was just piled up on itself.
There's a liquid wall?
Then I went to the bathroom for like an hour, came back and said, time for my bisque, and I worked my way down. You know what's weird? Now think about it. I don't think I ate any of the bread because the soup was so filling that I didn't even pull off any of the sides.
Well, that's what you do is you just scrape the inside. Yeah. You wait for the moisture to get into the bread, and you just scrape.
That was good. I did that, and that was gummy. But I thought
good.
I would be tearing it apart like a tostada.
I did a little bit, but I just to like try it.
You dirty dog.
and I did a lot of lid dipping, which I enjoyed.
Yeah. I got like the stuff from the inside, like Jeff did, and I got like a hole in the bottom. And as I was picking it up to like, you know, do a bit about like looking at you guys through it, the waiter came right over as I was picking it up. She's like, "Oh, you're still eating." I was like, "I just want to look at it, my friends through it."
She's like, "Why? Why do you want to do that?"
Because I think it's cool. And I'm cool. She said, "Why don't you go back to Peruvia?" I said, "I'm a little confused."
I will say, and wait, so someone had the observation, I think, communicated to you guys something about the clam chowder that proved to be true.
Somebody at either the Sloppy or Birthday Boy show recommended if you, and they're here, I think, they said if you go to Boudin and you get the staples, like the
clam chowder,
they said you have to go salt and pepper. If you get a normal menu item, you're fine. But if you get kind of the more famous things, you got to be ready to go apeshit with the salt and pepper. And I remembered right after I finished my bread bowl.
And then you did a big chaser of salt, right?
Yeah.
And mixed it all up.
And another oyster.
Is that person here? Yeah!
Sad. They said yeah, very sadly.
Ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember my thing.
Drenched in salt and pepper.
Can I talk about the clam chowder for a second?
Yes, please.
Good. It was bad.
And as a New England clam chowder, you're a New Englander.
I'm a New England man. That's true.
You can speak to it.
Where do you get, in Boston, is there the iconic one that you get?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, God.
Bodie.
A Logan Airport man. It's the best.
I don't know. Chang, what do you think? Legal seafood?
Legal seafood?
That's the oyster house where we went with Edwin.
Is Chankton asleep?
Chankton, did you fall asleep, Chankton?
I think he did.
Chankton left.
Chankton's gone?
No, I'm kidding. He's here. He's having a great time.
Chankton walked out?
I'm kidding. He's here.
Mitch, your eyes opened as wide as I've ever seen when you said that. It was like that guy who gets hit by a boat in that movie. Remember, like, there's a little
Caddyshack?
Boat? Yeah, Caddyshack. The guy whose eyes opened up.
That guy's great. That's good, Mitch. He's really good, that guy.
Yeah, you know what had a... we had great clam chowder at Tadich.
Yeah, Tadich.
That was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Also,
where is Tadich?
Here right in here. San Francisco.
Oh, it's here in SF. Maybe. Okay.
That's the place that didn't have the artichoke.
That was like thick, delicious clam chowder.
I think
that you mentioned this earlier. Yeah.
Feels like the whole thing with New England clam chowder. Back me up, Mitch. You're from New England, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
You don't want...
But hold on. Where is Chankton?
Yeah.
He's right there.
Did he say anything?
Oh, he's waving.
He's sitting...
He agrees with me.
I agree with you.
Legal seafood?
Burke seafood, too, in Quincy is great.
Mitch, he clearly wants to be left alone.
He'll be a part of the show.
He's really busy over there. What's he working on? Doing his taxes. That's kind of from a Chappelle sketch.
No, Charlie, we're not talking to you anymore. Chayton, shut up. He's drunk. Let's go.
One of your friends, really? No. I think I agree that the clam chowder here was just fucking, at best it was replacement level. It was just not exciting. There was nothing, it was underseasoned.
I would actually call it calm chowder.
Why?
Oh boy.
Because the taste is so calm and nothing.
Yep.
Mm.
I know what I would call it?
What?
Seafood milk.
Yeah.
Warm seafood milk.
Yeah.
It was fucking whack. It tasted too seafoody.
It was like a fishy half and half.
It was a fishy milk. It was a fishy milk.
Yeah. Get a lot of nods out here. I see a lot of yeah.
It's disappointing, especially because of their signature.
Do fish have breasts in some way? Oh, sorry. That's a strange question.
In some way.
There's a fillet.
Are there pictures of it too?
There's animated pictures of it for sure.
Good to know. It was very seafoody. Not enough potato in there.
Yeah.
It was whack. It was not good at all. And I had a big fucking giant bread bowl of it. It sucked.
You get a gigantic portion.
Yeah.
And it's just you're committed to it. So then we got some other items. The crab mac and cheese, which is not in the online menu, so I don't have a description here. I guess it was maybe a special. And then in that same category, combining shellfish and dairy, there was the Dungeness crab and shrimp pizza, which Van Artstalen ordered. Fresh pesto mozzarella and tomato confit.
The audience is groaning.
That was the one thing I refused to put in my mouth.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm not eating that.
But you did do the crab mac and cheese?
I did taste the crab mac and cheese.
See, I asked the waitress, I got a petite bread bowl, and I said, well, I should get one other thing, but something we can all share, because I'm going to have a bunch of this subpar chowder. And she said crab mac and cheese, and we went for it, and it was fine.
It wasn't, like, congealed together. Like, the noodles were bouncing all around, and then separately there was cheese.
Just crab just thrown on top.
Yeah.
It was just
a fucking lump of crab on top of mac and cheese.
First off, I'd just give me regular mac and cheese. I'd rather have that. But the mac and cheese in and of itself was bad mac and cheese.
It was fraudulent that it was served in a skillet that it wasn't cooked in.
No, yeah. It was a show skillet.
Yeah. What the fuck?
A show skillet, yeah.
It was a prop. It wasn't cast iron.
The pizza I found to be vile. I didn't like it. Its existence. You guys tasted it, or some of you tasted it.
Yeah, it was good. It was pretty good.
It was good?
Yeah. It was. I thought it was great.
Wow.
It was better than most other things, yes.
Wow.
It was like a pesto, like a white pie with pesto and a shrimp every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the weird thing is crab, because you've had shrimp on pizza, right?
Yes.
The crab is the weird thing.
The crab is unusual. I'm a person who I just don't like mixing seafood and cheese. I just like for me, that's like an odd combo. I've had it work at times, but like I've also had other times.
I think
where
someone just got pinched.
It might be a crab loose in the audience.
Oh shit! He's hearing all this stuff.
It's going after everybody.
Hey, I'm fine on pizza.
Tell them
he wants to be cooked. Stupid crab. Weiger, I think you're right. I think that that was a traditional rule that like cheese and seafood, you keep them separate, and that's like a chef rule.
It's in the Bible too.
And then
I
like
think.
Wolfgang Puck came along. Yeah, it's Old Testament. But then
that's
like,
Jesus is on the cross and he says that.
He's like,
it was the only thing he said.
Before I go, just don't put cheese and seafood together.
And mention it on Doughboy.
But then I think that eventually Wolfgang Puck came along and put a shrimp on a pizza and everyone said, hey now, whoa.
There have been executions.
That fucking German fuck.
Yeah.
There Austrian? Been
I think he's from Peruvia, actually. God, I'm going to hear this the rest of my life.
There have been versions of it that have worked for me, but this wasn't one of them, the crab mac and cheese. So moving on from the surf portion to the turf portion, which I think were actually two of the better ones, mm-hmm. The red wine braised beef stew and the ribeye steak sandwich. So the beef stew was a slow braised beef short rib with Dijon mustard and carrots, pearl onions, creamy garlic mashed potatoes, the steak sandwich, 8-ounce grilled ribeye, mm-hmm. French baguette, Swiss cheese, balsamic glazed onions, arugula tomato with coleslaw and bistro fries. Was there coleslaw?
Ooh, I don't know if there was coleslaw.
I didn't see no coleslaw. They forgot their slaw. But the ribeye steak sandwich, I think, was the best bite of the meal.
By a mile.
I think it was good. By a lot.
I mean, that
rules. The
baguette
was good. It was a good baguette.
I ordered two meals. I ordered the big bread bowl and a steak sandwich.
Right. Waitress didn't bat an eye.
She
And that's it for you?
And Weiger, I saw you sitting there. You know, we're in expensive San Francisco. What are you doing? And then it was the best thing of the entire meal.
I'm glad you got it. I was skeptical. A steak sandwich is a thing that I feel like rarely works. Usually the steak is too hard to nibble through when it's contained in bread. Mm-hmm. You need a knife, but this one was good. It was a nice balance.
Sourdough and a fucking steak, and you could bite through it pretty easily.
You could bite through it. Nice. And the baguette, I think, was the best bread we had, mm-hmm. including the little free bread they get you on the table, which was nothing impressive. But that was the best bread.
An issue. I got an issue.
Yeah.
Why is that bread not warm?
That should be better. Yeah, it should be piping hot.
It came on those baskets across the room. It got cooled down by the wind.
No one agrees with that. The bread should be warm.
It should be warm.
It's the baker is right next door. And he...
I think people agree with you. Just people have just stopped listening at this point. Look how many phones are out.
I think Chankton was leading a big group outside.
Hey, guys, we don't have to listen to this. Let's go.
Weiger and I have always talked about when people realize that this is a stupid podcast.
Yeah.
And it's just over. It might be tonight.
Most people realize it and just unsubscribe. But then to actually come here and like kind of be in the shit a little bit and then be immersed in it. That's like probably a harsher revelation. Like I wasted so much time and money.
Shut up, you fool!
And the stew I thought was the stew did you right? It was
the stew
pretty
was
good
fine.
Stew. It was fine.
It was fine. It wasn't disappointing, but whatever.
I think as the compared to everything else we had, I thought that was one of the better things.
Yeah. Also, but you could make it at home. I feel like my mom has made.
If you're like a great chef and have like the perfect recipe, yeah, you can make that.
I've had like a carrot and a potato with some nice beef.
Yeah.
Sure. Can you believe it?
No, I believe you.
Stunned. I believe it.
But the steak sandwich really the standout here. Well, uh-huh. We should get to our final thoughts on boudin, our experience here today.
Is that, before we continue, boudin is the way to pronounce it. I've heard some people say boudin.
Boudin
is no?
Boudin is no.
Okay.
Nodine.
The website says boudin. Their own website. So
kind of terrified me a little bit.
What
did you say? Boudin is the ghost language. What? It is.
It's true. Could also be someone upset with Dean Cain.
We hope it's not, but...
I hope not. Well, let's get to our final thoughts on Boudin, Boudin, Bowden, however you say it. We'll go around. We'll each give a summary of our opinion, a closing argument, if you will, and then ascribe it a fork rating, 0 to 5 forks. We'll go down the line, starting with you, Jeff Dutton of the Sloppy Boys.
Okay. I think it was a great time at a restaurant. We really dug in and had like a multi-hour meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, once you get inside that building, it is charming. Like, it is the sort of place that I think we went to our first Sketchfest 10 years ago. It's exactly the sort of place, like on Hollywood and Highland, where if you're it's the first time here, you just go right into the heart of the dumb thing and do it. Mm. And basically, I give it 3 out of 5, just being like barely better than average.
All right. I mean,
3 forks from Jeff Dunn. All right, Handman, go ahead.
I had the thing, I got the crab bisque, and I thought that was good. That was the best thing I had, I think, other than the steak sandwich. I wasn't too impressed all around, and I kind of didn't like the inside of the restaurant. I thought it was kind of plain.
It is pretty boring.
The baskets were going around the ceiling.
That was cool. They did remind me of
Monsters, Inc.
Star Wars.
With the doors.
Robots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it is kind of a Monsters, Inc. thing, too.
Oh, I will say the view was great. There was a great sailboat.
There is a great view.
That I thought was really great.
No, you're right by the wharf. You can look out over the bay. Yep. It's nice.
You can look at all the better restaurants.
You can see
from the pier.
You can see Alcatraz and think about Capone wasting away. Mm.
He's still there.
Yes. I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Whoa.
Two forks. Mike Hanford.
No, I mean a 1 out of 5.
Yeah. Tim Kalpakis.
Oh, boy. I feel similarly. I had the half and a half. The crab bisque was way better than the clam chowder.
For sure.
So I liked that half a lot. It was more savory, more flavor. But I feel like when I first got there, I looked at the menu, and I saw that ribeye sandwich, and ribeye is my favorite food, but we were at a clam chowder place, so I said, Timmy, don't get that ribeye.
I heard him say this.
This was during the hour you were in the bathroom.
Yeah. I was kind of just like really close up to the mirror.
It's like Apocalypse Now in there.
Then I was kind of, I had a Sharpie, I was working out some equations. I was like Matt Damon. Okay.
Oh.
Anyway, I felt like disappointed that I said, Tim, don't get the ribeye. You always eat that, and you're going on a podcast tonight. You should have a feeling about the chowder, so you should order the chowder. Then I ate all the chowder, and then I had a bite. I had many bites of Mitch's ribeye, and it was so much better that I just felt like I'd botched the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I felt like that sucks that your iconic dish that brought us in the door is not as good as a steak sandwich. You know, that's weird.
Yeah.
So I'm saying 3 out of 5.
Still going 3 forks. All right, Spoon Man, what do you think?
Well, it was funny because, like, I got there, I was excited to do it. I didn't enjoy the drinks. I didn't enjoy the food. And I certainly didn't enjoy the company.
Hey! Mitch, that was us.
I'm sorry. I meant Weiger specifically. Here's the deal. If I was the Birdman of Alcatraz or Sean Connery, I did an impression of him with his last name.
Oh, he's French?
Sean
Connery.
Connery.
Sean Connery. Oh, sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu, I'm stuck in the rock.
You understand that Sean Connery's character from The Rock is not a historical figure.
I thought that movie was taking place in real time.
Okay.
I thought I was watching a TV news program. If I escaped from Alcatraz and I swam, which I am very good at.
No, you're good at floating.
If I floated from Alcatraz...
Another bit of your irrational self-confidence, just to go on a tangent real quick. You said that you could swim from Alcatraz. You were confident you could do it.
If someone's got a spotlight in a boat, I'll show you. I'll prove you all wrong tonight.
Yeah, do it!
How do you all feel if I just sank completely to the bottom?
All these people have to go out and stand in the cold and watch you swim.
You thought this show was bad now. We're taking it to the water. Doughboys cruise, Wagger. We've talked about this.
Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. We're not gonna do it.
They want it. How about Doughboys?
We're not doing a Doughboys cruise.
Doughboys live at Alcatraz. How's that? And if I lock Wagger up,
Alright, calm down.
If I swam all the way from Alcatraz,
yes,
and I got to fucking Boudin, I'd fucking swim my ass right back. Oh. That shit sucks. You're right down by the water. You're a bread place, but you want to be a fish place. Make up your mind, is it bread or fish? You got the Jesus meal going here, Wiger. Loaves of bread and fish. It doesn't go well together. You got to choose one or the other. It's got to be bread. It's too seafoody, and the seafood sucks.
You're a good Catholic boy, terrified of the devil.
Yes.
With his horns and his trident.
Yes.
And you think, but you're willing to say that the Christ meal is bad.
Hold on. I feel like Christ was a better cook or something than the Boudin people. So there's Bodine, Boudin. I'm saying no Dean. Two forks. No Dean.
I was disappointed by my meal. I mean, this is a tourist trap. That's what it is. This location, the bistro, there's no reason to go to the bistro. Go to the factory, like walk around if you want to for whatever reason. If you're down the Fisherman's Wharf and you have some kids to entertain, they'll maybe like all the loaves that are shaped like animals and shit. But, I mean, I like that. I'm not going to say I didn't like seeing loaves shaped like animals. That was pretty fun.
Oh, one of the loaves of bread had a 49ers sticker on it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So you guys would probably love that here.
Yeah, they didn't like have it shaped like the 49er logo. They just put a sticker on it.
There was a sticker on it.
Was I supposed to remove that before I ate it?
It's just, you know, the actual bistro itself is, it's such a great food city. There's so many places. If you're going to spend as much money as we did, we spend a lot of fucking money at this fucking place.
We spent $6,000.
Yeah, we didn't mention all those bottles of champagne we were drinking.
I just go someplace else. The actual cafe, which I've been to before, it's fine, but it's also like with a sourdough on a bread bowl. All right, this is, you can get this fucking at Disneyland. It's the same thing.
And
this
what is the difference between the cafe is downstairs and it's more grab and go, and the upstairs is a restaurant?
And the cafe, they have a bunch of. They have about 30 different locations, including some at the airports here. And it's, you know, yeah, it is more grab and go. It's more focused towards the chowder in a bread bowl. And
oh,
just
yeah,
the
perfect,
and
perfect plain food. Clam chowder in a bread bowl. I was going to say, we were downstairs, and a guy came up to us. He might be here tonight. And he's like, did you go to the restaurant? Oh, there he is. And I was like, did you go to the restaurant or did you go to the cafe? We were like, the restaurant. He's like, the cafe fucking sucks. That guy right there. Yeah. Smart man.
He's right. That said, walking through the museum, this is a union shop. Which is nice. It's nice that it's a union bakery.
Oh, God damn it. We agree.
So for that reason, I'm giving it an extra half fork, which gives Boudin's rating 1.5 forks.
Whoa!
Wow.
Oh.
Ow.
Guys, that was our review of Boudin. And now it's time for a segment. I've got a mystery drink. And Mitch and the Sloppy Boys must divine what it is. It's another edition of the Wiger Challenge. Emma Erdbrink, everybody, our producer. Walking out these mystery beverages in clear cups. Emma, a former bartender, your first time in the Bay Area. Any thoughts in the little bit of time you spent here?
It's a pretty dope city, but your shit's expensive.
Well said.
Perfect.
Thank you, Emma.
Very well said. Hey, wait a second.
Yes.
You know, you and I have a little bet about me making the Billboard Top 100. I won't play the song, but I will say I am working with one member of the Sloppy Boys on my production.
Wow.
They don't want to be named. But I am working with the Sloppy Boy right now on my Billboard Top 100.
The terms of the bet are, and I think you only have like 8 weeks to get this done. Because you made
we
the
pushed
bet.
It to 2021.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because I was like, you're not going to start till like November. You made the bet like almost a year ago, uh-huh. And you have 1 year to get a song on the Billboard Hot 100, and if
that's
it
right.
happens, then I give you like $1,000.
You give me $10,000.
$10,000, okay.
Mm-hmm. I did write a parody song, and I'm trying to warm myself up.
Okay, so this is not the song.
This is not the song.
But this is a
Do you want to hear the parody song?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we all do.
It's a parody song of Country Road.
Okay.
At the goalpost, Mushroom Kingdom, Cuckoo Mountain, Loop Loop River. Yoshi lives here, eats berries from the trees. Mario will ride his back and eat Goombas with great ease. Country Toad, take me home. To the place I belong, Mushroom Kingdom, Princess Peachy, take me home, Country Toad.
Damn. Wow.
It's a lock, baby. He's going to get this Billboard.
I think that song could get on the Billboard Top 100.
I was so sure it was going to be Rainbow Road.
Oh, Rainbow Road. Damn it. Shit.
That's why we're the Sloppy Boys. We're a band, man.
Fuck.
I like.
I can't be. I'm not even going to lie to you. My night is ruined.
Oh, my God.
Shit. No, fuck you. I just did a full song. The Sloppy Boys could do a lettuce wrap. No, I'm not going to make you do that.
I don't think we ever heard the lettuce wrap. Yeah. That's where you just kind of closed your eyes and got sweaty and worried about it.
It's a very Kalpakian rhyme delivery.
Let's hear it. I forget it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, lettuce wrap. It's a lettuce wrap. Yeah, arugula iceberg, that's for me. Making salads, let's make it for three. Sloppy boys have come to dine. Oh, fucking shit.
Is it always freestyled? The lettuce wrap is always a freestyle rap?
Let me tell you. There's hard things in this world. Making a lettuce wrap is the hardest thing to do of all.
Making.
You bailed on trying to rhyme dime. It's a one-syllable word.
It's hard.
Fine, mine? You can find
Shit.
Ways to land that.
Yeah, lettuce wrap. It's a lettuce wrap.
Good.
Yep. I would like to see a movie Jesus like an Christ. 8 Mile style movie with you. Hey, you heard about this kid on this podcast? Kid? Well, don't worry about that. Anyway, he raps about lettuce sometimes, and he hates doing it. But he always brings it up.
I did not bring it up.
I don't know. Maybe this time you didn't.
I sang Rainbow Road. Wink. We're going to edit it. I'm going to sing Rainbow.
The masters of editing.
Guys, so you each have a beverage in front of you for the Weiger Challenge, which is the exercise we're doing here.
And
describe.
You can promise this is not your piss.
It's not my piss.
Okay.
Man, I wish I was that hydrated. It's
so you wish you were so hydrated that you'd serve us your piss?
Yeah, they could fill fucking 5 pint glasses with urine.
The reason
and
I
be
ask,
that clear.
I asked because it is very cold.
Right.
I heard you have.
It was your piss.
I do hear you have cold piss. Is that true?
I have a famously cold dick. So you guys,
we're getting a little silly at the end of the show, huh?
describe what you're... We are getting a little silly. Describe what you've got in front of you. Describe what you're smelling, tasting, seeing.
Well, it looks kind of like a sparkling white wine, maybe.
It smells like a white wine.
You know
too.
What?
Smells a little pineapple-y.
First reaction, it looks like Snapple Elements Rain.
Oh.
Very
Holy
specific.
Holy shit.
Very Whoa. Specific.
That's from 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's like when Snapple was like... The movie Fern Gully came out, and they're like, we got to pair a drink with that.
Oh, wow. That's a weird taste.
I took a sip
you
of
it.
I do Are not like to? It.
What did you taste? What do you experience?
It tastes like rainwater.
Mm. It's definitely like a sparkling water type thing.
It's bad.
It smells like a fruity thing.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah, definitely a sparkling water. It's like little bubbles, tiny little sharp ones.
Yeah, I know my mouth is bleeding.
Not a lot of effervescence, I will say.
And like such a delicate flavor, like maybe like cucumber something.
I think, but it's fruitier than cucumber. Is it like a
passion you're right.
fruit?
Oh. Passion. Maybe a little mango-y?
Mang, maybe.
Mango.
And
Peruvian mango?
Oh, boy.
All right. Would anyone like to wager a guess on what this beverage is?
I'm going to say it's like a wannabe LaCroix that is like new. I'm going to say it is Dasani sparkling passion fruit.
Sparkling Dasani passion fruit. Tim Kalbakis' answer. Anyone else? Mike Hanford?
Oh, my God, I have no idea.
Dutton, Mitch?
There's not alcohol in it, I don't think. Right?
I'm not going to get...
Oh, yeah, I
can't
ask
questions.
Hold on. That may be it.
If there's alcohol, then I'm off the wagon.
Shit. Yeah, we should have told you. Sorry.
Hawaiian Punch, Peruvian Mango Blast.
Okay. Pretty wild guess there.
Well,
pretty
hey,
wild swing.
I'm a wild guy.
Dutton Mitchell?
I say it's a Perrier Fruit Mango.
Perrier
I don't
Fruit
know.
Mango, okay.
This one is fucking hard, but I also feel like it might be some sort of San Francisco fucking treat.
There is...
Rice-a-roni? My guess is Rice-A-Roni.
This gave you discarded rice water?
I'll go San Pellegrino Mango.
San Pellegrino Mango. Okay. You know what? Rendering a verdict, Mitch, I think you're closest.
Wow!
Whoa!
It's Rice-A-Roni!
Because it does not have any fruit, it is Lagunitas Hoppy Refresher from the Lagunitas Brewery. In Petaluma, California.
Wow.
Does not have alcohol. This is a hops-based, refreshing, carbonated drink.
So what on earth made you think we could ever guess this?
Hop water.
That's
is
why
is
I was
nothing.
Tasting some. I was tasting. It tasted almost like alcohol.
Yeah. It's but kind of got that. It's like beer, but it's not.
Wow.
It's not very hoppy, though. It doesn't smell like an IPA.
Yeah.
It's more. It's like a whiff of hops.
You know what?
Yeah.
Fucking flush it all down the toilet. Burn the mother dough. We need to start this city over again. We waited at a light for like 10 minutes because of a trolley. That happens? The Lyft driver was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, what's going on? He's like, you'll see. And then a fucking trolley drove by.
Well, you, I mean, we thought that was pretty quaint when it went by.
Yeah, that sounds cute.
Ding, ding, didn't we all went, that's pretty good.
I giggled when it dinged.
Yeah. Joey Gladstone was on the back.
Well, that very anticlimactic segment was the Weiger Challenge. Just like a restaurant, you got your feedback, let's open up the feedback. So we're going to take three audience questions.
Let's just say this,
Emma's
though, right at the
here.
Top.
Yes. Yeah.
In Detroit, someone came up on the stage.
Yeah, don't come up on stage. Don't try to shake our hand.
I never shook Nick's hand myself.
Yeah. Like, we'll shake hands with you after the show, but don't, like, come on stage trying to shake our hand. But, yeah, I think that was a one-time thing. I think this crowd will exercise better restraint.
Yeah, I hope
so. This
crowd
is less drunk than the fucking Detroit Friday night crowd.
Yeah,
crowd
fucking bring it up. Shots on Chankton at the back of the bar.
All right, Emma, who's our first question from?
All right, really?
A crab.
Real quick, a young lady, I think named Ariel, sent an email and said that there is someone named Chris with a 30th birthday, so I want to shout that out and say happy birthday.
HBD Chris.
All right.
The big 3-0.
Wow. All
right, so we got...
Man, you're going to have to tell your children, where were you for your 30th birthday, Dad?
That typical question kids ask their parents.
Fuck you, forget it. Man.
Anyway, we got Zaret Blake, Brian Marsters, and Josh Cohen, if you want to come meet me right here.
All right, come up and mosey up. Right, whoever's close. First.
Yeah, Celtics jersey.
Okay,
that
we
like
got
it.
Someone in a Celtics.
He's you're from Quincy? Holy shit.
And a Bruins hat on.
Don't give him that.
Man.
Right. Emma, take that mic away from him.
remind us your name real quick.
Brian.
Brian, thank you, Brian. Wearing a Celtics hoodie and a Boston Bruins hat. Yes.
Where'd you go to high school?
North.
North Quincy? Yeah. Where did you graduate?
2005.
Oh, God, this is going to be a
25
minute
You were 4 years behind me.
Yeah.
Did just you have my mama?
I missed you. I did.
You had my mom?
I did.
Whoa. Holy shit.
And when he says he had your mom.
What the fuck? Is your question, can I be your new dad?
It wasn't, but no. My question was, you reviewed a chain that was known for its bread. What burger chain has the best bread or buns?
Wow.
Ooh,
this
is
that's
a good question. Oh. Very good question.
Very good question.
It's safe for me to say this here in the Golden State, but I like the sponge dough on an In-N-Out burger.
You are so full of shit.
It's a very standard, basic, but very satisfying classic burger bun.
I got a bun for you. That Big Mac sesame seed bun, baby.
Good bun. Good bun. Quality bun. No one's deriding that bun.
I second Weiger.
Wow.
Heartily.
Dutton on my side.
Wow.
Usually when I go to restaurants like that, I get a salad or something like that. So I don't really
wow,
have the burger buns.
People are booing you.
Yeah. Sorry, that's just who I am.
I like the Wendy's pretzel bun.
Wow.
Oh, that's fun.
I love that pretzel bun.
It's a fun option.
You know what else I'll throw out there? Shake Shack bun. Nice and soft. Barely have to chew the thing.
It's all right.
Have you tried the keto bun?
Ooh, no.
Have you been to, like, Burger M? It's a chain, like, burger. Oop.
Oh, I got some,
oh, no.
Some Burger M dissenters in here.
Well, they've got, there's, like, you know, you could do normal bun or lettuce wrap or a keto one, and it's just like a, it's a sponge. It's got no carbs,
damn.
No taste, and it's not made of anything at all. I didn't like it.
Oh, you know what else I'll say? The Hawaiian, King's Hawaiian
oh,
buns.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Those are fun.
I guess there's... Yeah, yeah. Are those at fast food places or?
I haven't encountered that at any. I mean, some fast food place should do that as a promotion.
I think Islands maybe, right?
Islands has some great buns. I'm a big time Island guy.
Great question. My mother
Arby's
taught you
good,
well, my
Arby's
boy.
Is a good answer. Thank you for the question, Brian. All right, hi, what's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name's Kale.
Hi,
hey, Kale.
Blake. Yeah, it's my last name. So I wanted to know, with the impending climate apocalypse soon upon us. What preserved food item would you go on like a really perilous long journey across the barren apocalyptic wasteland
wow.
to acquire?
That's a very good question.
So,
also, his name is Kale, like the food.
Oh, oh. How about that? That's fun. I spelled with a C, though, I assume, right?
Yeah.
No, you're supposed to
is
say
it
no.
With a K?
It's actually K-A-L-E.
Why
is it
is?
Really?
It's like the food.
Like the food. Wow.
Wow. We should just call it right here.
Yeah, that's amazing. I will. So the thing that popped into my mind is from The Road, the Cormac McCarthy novel, and he discovers it's adapted into a film. Viggo Mortensen's in it. He shows a stick and he just promises.
Which makes me feel good about myself.
It's a great nubby dick. Like so many. So many times you see a flaccid dick in a movie and the guy's clearly like chubbed up a little bit because he knows this is my time to shine.
He might be president of the Nub Club, Vigo.
Vigo's just showing like he's not trying to impress anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I will say...
What, is it weird we've talked about this endlessly before?
You, me, and Dano were texting about this.
We were, recently.
I really, I will say that in that, they retrieve at one point a can of Coke, and his son, who was born after the apocalypse, tastes it for the first time. And even though it's a little flat and expired, it's like kind of like it's like a delight for him.
Let's be real here.
A soda, if you could find a soda, that would be like an amazing thing to experience.
You, Natalie, go down in the bunker with a bunch of coconut oil. We know this is true.
She's like, we got to repopulate the earth. I'm like, all right.
So, like, part of the consideration is that it would stay throughout the apocalypse.
Yes,
right?
Bread would be a bad choice.
Bread would be bad.
Something preserved.
Especially like Bodine bread.
Man, that's a tough one. I would say maybe this is like kind of a basic choice, but like peanut butter.
But we're talking about a quest. Like, you're going on a Death Stranding-esque quest.
Yeah, I'm going to still say peanut butter.
You're still saying peanut butter. Okay. Fair enough. Peanut butter's great.
Yeah, that's a tough one because all that like canned food is something I don't really like.
I'm not beginning a trip for tuna fish.
Right.
But if you're talking what you're eating, like, let's say, are like irradiated wolves, like three-eyed wolves. You're like
and
trying
I ain't
to
going
fucking.
Anywhere. Yeah.
But that's and you have to like kill them with a crossbow. That's your sustenance.
Right.
And you're like, I want something that reminds me of a time before.
I would do SpaghettiOs because I feel like that's
that's a great answer.
Like,
SpaghettiOs is good.
That's
makes
a
me
great
think of
answer.
Being young again.
Spam. Spam, ooh. Wow.
Excellent answer.
Wow.
Very good answer.
I go down there with that Boudin mother dough. Just the two of us. Ride out the apocalypse together, baby.
I wonder if a circus peanut would last.
Ooh, circus peanuts would definitely last.
I find those repulsive. You guys like those?
I guess I don't, but...
I can't... I wonder how many of those get eaten every year because I know they make
like
a
12.
Lot of them.
Yeah,
yeah, but it would be so weird to eat a whole pack.
The cliche about Hostess snacks is that they'll survive, you know, some sort of nuclear holocaust or they'll last forever. So that would actually probably be a nice little sweet treat if you could test that hypothesis.
I just had my first Twinkie in like 20 years and it was so good. Have you had a Twinkie recently?
I haven't. No, that's a good choice, though.
It's like cake. I'm going to change my spam to Twinkie. Can I do that?
Yeah, of course.
Kale, is that okay?
That's totally okay.
Kale with a K, thank you for an excellent question. One more question
I didn't give my real answer.
What's your real answer?
I was going to say mac and cheese. Kraft mac and cheese.
That's good.
Would that work? Would pasta work?
I think
so. But then I'd have to get butter. Would I have to use butter from, like, the wolf?
You'd want like the easy mac, so you don't have you don't have to restrain and milk a mutant wolf.
Easy mac is my answer.
Easy mac, yeah. Then you just add some hot water.
Yeah, the shitty mac and cheese.
Yeah. Hi, what's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hi. So I'm one of those food scientists that you guys are always complaining about, or maybe admiring when you're talking about the crazy snacks and stuff that you eat.
No, we admire.
Is this
you.
Real?
Yes. Well, so I don't actually work on those products, but...
Can you say what company you work for? It's okay
small,
if you don't.
It's a small biotech company in Oakland. I'm actually not doing food product development right now.
But at one point, you worked in food products.
Correct.
Can you explain why Tim's two soups stayed separate from each other?
Probably some combination of what Weiger said and, you know, just the fact that they're very viscous, but...
Oh, okay.
Weiger is basically a food scientist.
Hey, how about that?
So I've like worked in or visited a lot of like R&D and product development labs for like food companies. So for either like a specific company or a specific product, what would you guys be interested in kind of seeing or potentially even like partaking in like, you know, panels or kind of just peeking behind the veil of the product development process?
Wow.
For like what type of products and you can expand it to fast food kind of test kitchens as well.
Mm.
So you're saying like what would we want to see? Like, this is how this thing is made.
Not just how it's made, but how it's, like, new products are developed and partake in that as
well. That's good.
Can I say right off the bat?
Yes.
We've talked privately about wanting to go to the Taco Bell test kitchen.
Yeah, we're trying to make that happen.
And in my mind, it's, like, Willy Wonka-esque.
Right. It's like Xanadu. It's like when Bart Simpson gets a peek at what's going on in Mad Magazine.
Yes. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. Josh, right? First off, Josh, thank you for your service. I think I am very interested in seeing how they come up with new flavors of Mountain Dew. Like, and how do they figure out, like, okay, this is gonna be whatever their newest iteration is, whatever the equivalent of Gamer Fuel or Code Red is. Like, what is their new product that they're working on? How do they decide on what the flavor combo is? Where do those flavors come from? Yeah. And then also, how do they decide how to market it? Because clearly they have a very specific demographic they're targeting it at. So, yeah, my Mountain Dew is my answer. I'd like to go to the Mountain Dew plant, whatever it is.
What if you went to the Mountain Dew plant and, like, the way that they make Mountain Dew is they drain blood from children? I think it's a possibility.
It's like a Pizzagate scenario. Hillary's there. Oh, boy.
So Taco Bell and Mountain Dew, those are both good. I think one that a food brand that does some interesting variants, because every food now, like a Fig Newton, they just do like 50 different Newtons, and
right,
they're all shit.
Yeah.
I think the best hit rate, which still isn't good, but is better than most, is Oreo.
You're right.
Oreo plant is good.
Like, honestly, like every once in a while, somebody will pull out like pistachio Oreos, and I'll be like, blech. And then I have like 50 of them.
A lot of them work.
That's good. That's very true.
Yeah.
Golden is just as good as the normal, if you ask me.
Give me golden over regular Oreos.
I would take golden Oreos as well.
I like them.
Is that blasphemous or something? No,
I don't think so. It's a fine opinion to have.
The triple double with that middle guy.
Yeah.
The middle.
A little
cookie.
Middle patty.
What's Hydrox been doing? They're not keeping up with any of that.
They're living on a certain level. Just they're fine with that.
I saw a new version of salt. It was Hydrox salty.
And it's like, the cream is salty. Wink. It says wink in the coffee. Like, what? Hydrox predates Oreo.
Yeah.
Hydrox is like if Pepsi dominated the soda industry.
Is that the
imitator.
Can we lower the house lights? I don't want to see the audience anymore.
They're all salivating over the Hydrox.
We're almost done with the show.
For real, the lights came up and I just saw someone sleeping. I was like, oh, God, you got to put these back down.
Dutton is very cool. Thank you for doing the show, Dutton.
Please stop doing that. I don't know how to respond.
Classic cool guy.
Calpacus, Hanford, are you guys getting answers?
I want to see, I want to know how they put the flavors into like a Jelly Belly. Where's
good answer.
Well, he's gone.
Where the hell did Josh go? The lights went out and he vanished.
He just laid down in the aisle and started napping.
Yeah. Oh, he's sleeper.
Coming back. You don't have to come back.
Jelly Belly, we said.
Jelly Belly.
Jelly Belly's a good answer.
I want to do, mine is not like new stuff, but mine's more of like a historical keynote that you could do, Josh. A flashback in time, because here's what I was wondering about. The flavor of black licorice, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of things that taste like that.
Uh-huh.
You got your, sometimes you eat fennel and people are like, see, it's like black licorice.
Right.
And then other times you have like coriander, like that's black licorice. And then there's like star anise, wormwood. There's all these weird, and all of them be like, that's how they make black licorice. And then also when you're picking out a liqueur at like a liquor store, there's 20 different things that taste all like black licorice, but they're all made from, like, I don't like any of it. But, Josh, I think you could give, like, a nice little symposium about how that all came to be.
If you want to just come on stage, you can start it now.
You could shake our hands right up here. Yeah.
The person who's sleeping wakes up.
Yeah. Now, symposium.
Guys, that's our show. The Sloppy Boys. Emma Erdbrink. Give it up for everyone at SF Sketchfest and everybody here at Cobbs. Until next time for the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya. Thank you, San Francisco. Go Niners next weekend.
On the next Doughboys Double. Pin Pals Rejoice! Writer and comedian Marissa Pinson returns to the podcast to taste test an array of hard seltzer brands. It's a boozy, bubbly, low-cal delight! Get the Doughboys Double every Tuesday only at patreon.com/doughboys. That's patreon.com/doughboys.
Sources for this week's intro available in the episode description.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.